Welcome to From the Bookworm Shelf. The first fan fiction in this podcast is Harry Potter and the Hermetic Arts by Hyken Edge on fanfiction.net. Plot summary. Harry Potter discovers the Player Handbook for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition after experiencing accidental magic and realizes he may have magic. Directed to a hobby shop, he develops his own style of magic based on tabletop RPGs and comics. Then he gets his Hogwarts letter. Rated M for language and graphic violence. Chapter 1. You don't say. You're a wizard, Harry. Harry, the short, bespectacled boy with unruly raven locks, garbed in an ill-fitting clothes, regarded the big, hairy bear of a man who had introduced himself as Rubeus Hagrid, keeper of keys and grounds at Hogwarts, in the same regard as one might an adult who had just earnestly said the world was flat, or a very dull child, say, like his cousin, Dudley Dursley. "You don't say," said the boy, in the tone one might use with a young child proudly showing a random stranger a hand turkey they had made in class. "A wizard," continued the big man, barreling on, oblivious to the boy's tone, in the changing expressions of the adults in the room. "You don't say," Harry said again, taking off his glasses, massaging his forehead with his thumb. "Well, did you ever make anything happen? Anything you couldn't explain?" The boy held up a hand, interrupting Rubeus Hagrid, keeper of keys and grounds at Hogwarts. "So why are you here?" he asked, already tiring of the rambly nature of the man's talking. With a grunt of effort, Rubeus Hagrid, keeper of keys and grounds at Hogwarts, pushed himself off of the sofa he had plopped himself onto. Beneath his weight, the furniture groaned in protest, and the giant of a man reached into his pocket, pulling forth a white envelope with a red wax seal as he crossed the room to the boy. Towering over Harry, he handed him the envelope, and Harry examined the text before turning it over and seeing the seal was already broken. Looking up at the big man, he asked, "Have you been reading my mail? That's a crime, you know." Rubeus Hagrid, keeper of keys and grounds at Hogwarts, sputtered in indignation, but Harry ignored him, opening the envelope and drawing forth the letter within, unfolding it and silently reading it for merely a moment before folding the letter again. "I'm afraid you've the wrong person," said Harry, as he put the letter back into the envelope before offering it back to the hulking mass standing over him. "What do you mean?" said an incredulous Rubeus Hagrid, keeper of keys and grounds at Hogwarts. "The letter is to a Mr. Poffer," said Harry. "I'm Harry Potter, not Harry Poffer, though I can see why you might give the letter to me, since the envelope is addressed to me, but the letter inside is for a Mr. Poffer, and I'm not he." "What?" said the giant of a man, opening the envelope and pulling out the letter, unfolding it and reading it. "No, this is for ye," said Rubeus Hagrid, keeper of keys and grounds at Hogwarts, pushing the letter back into Harry's hand. "Then you should hire someone who has better write these letters," mumbled Harry critically under his breath. "The lowercase t's look like f's, and the lines aren't even straight." Silently he read the letter to himself, then folded it back up and put it in its envelope. "I think we should go." The tub of fat that was Vernon Dursley jumped up and started to say something, but Harry cut him off. "Uncle Vernon, this man is a wizard, so I don't think you want to antagonize him. He's already smashed his way through a door, and it's already a miracle the shotgun didn't go boom when you pulled the trigger, despite the bent barrel." Vernon Dursley might not be a bright man, but he was in no way the dimwit who had sprung from his loins. Though he started to say something, he considered his nephew's observations and swallowed, nodding in agreement before shouting, "Get out!" Carefully, Rubeus Hagrid, keeper of keys and grounds at Hogwarts, pulled a pocket watch from his pocket and looked at it, then sighed. "We're a bit behind schedule," he said. "Best be off," he added before turning to go, not even checking to see if Harry was following, though Harry was but a step behind him. The return trip to England proper was by boat, and now he was sitting on the tube, reading the letter to himself again, Once more coming to the supplies he was to have for the school year, Harry frowned. "Can we find all this in London?" he asked, looking to the 8.5-foot-tall man. Rubeus Hagrid, keeper of keys and grounds at Hogwarts, leaned forward conspiratorially and said in a low voice, "If you know where to go." Where to go turned out to be a seedy dive bar lit with candles and filled with people dressed as though they thought they were still in the Victorian era. As Harry entered behind the man, he was now fairly sure either had a medical condition or wasn't wholly human. As normal people did not grow to be 8.5 feet tall, the barman greeted him cheerfully. "Ah, Hagrid," said the balding barman with an accent that sounded like his tongue was too thick for his mouth. "Usual, I presume." "No thanks, Tom," Hagrid called back. "I'm on official Hogwarts business." With a pat on Harry's shoulder, which had enough force to feel like a solid thumping, instead, he added, "Just helping young Harry here buy his school supplies." It took a moment for Harry to place the expression on the barman's face, and even then he wasn't sure if it was genuine surprise, gratitude, or if his face was just frozen from too many Botox injections. Nonetheless, the barman explained, "Bless my soul, it's Harry Potter." Suddenly, every conversation in the pub ground abruptly to a standstill as eyes and faces turned towards him. Then the man sitting closest to him reached over and took his hand, shaking it vigorously. "Welcome back, Mr. Potter, welcome back," said the man, shaking Harry's hand. "You don't say," was all the boy managed, before another voice pulled his attention to a woman at the bar. "Doris Crockford, Mr. Potter, I can't believe I'm meeting you at last," said the woman, also taking his hand and shaking it. "You don't say," managed Harry, stepping backwards and bumping into Hagrid's gut. Then he was swarmed by well-wishers and grateful souls. Thin man in a turban inched his way through the crowd before finally coming to a stop before the boy. "Harry Potter," said the man in what Harry could only describe as a bad stutter. "Can't tell you how pleased I am to meet you." "Neither can I," said Harry, before sarcastically thinking to himself, "I'm not a mind reader here." "Hello, Professor," said the big lumber man to the thin turban man. "I didn't see you there." Turning to the small boy, he added, "Harry, this is Professor Quirrell. He will be your defense against the dark arts teacher." Harry gave the turban man a once-over, then sighed in disappointment. If this was a standard for professors employed by the finest school of witchcraft and wizardry in the world, as Rubeus Hagrid, keeper of keys and grounds at Hogwarts, had said, particularly for a subject that sounded as important as defense against the dark arts, then Harry wondered what standards were like in the rest of the world. Nonetheless, he offered a hand to the professor and said, "Nice to meet you." Professor Quirrell, professor of defense against dark arts, wrung his hands and stuttered in response, but Harry was already ignoring him. Already, he found the stuttering annoying, and he wasn't in class yet. Hagrid said something, putting a hand on Harry's shoulder, but Harry wasn't really paying attention to the words. He was too busy looking around the tavern and observing just how badly lit and dilapidated the whole thing was, shuddering inwardly at the idea of using candles for the primary form of illumination. This was the world in which witches and wizards live? A world with perpetual bad lighting and LARPers? Nonetheless, he let himself be pulled along, through a door into a blind alley of a few barrels, glass barrels, and three brick walls. "How'd those people know me?" asked Harry, as soon as the doors closed behind them, and he and Rubeus Hagrid, keeper of keys and grounds at Hogwarts, were alone in the blind alley. "See, Harry, you're famous," said the lumbering Lolk, as though it was the most obvious thing in the world. "You don't say." That conversation died an awkward and painful death as the very tall and portly man pulled a pretty pink umbrella from the inside of his coat and began prodding the wall. As he finished, the bricks began to rotate, then parted, forming an archway. "Welcome, Harry, to Diagon Alley." The streets suddenly revealed to him looked like they were plucked from the pages of a Jules Verne novel, with its lanterns hanging from the sides of buildings to the facades on the street shops crammed together along the street. For a moment, Harry thought he was at a steampunk LARPing event, then realized it was unlikely given the immense number of people in robes, which were most certainly not Victorian fashion, and he followed Rubius Hagrid, keeper of keys and grounds at Hogwarts, down the street, ignoring his babbling as he looked around, more in disillusionment than wonder. How was it the world of witches and wizards were so far behind the modern times? As they walked by the row of shops, something struck the young raven-haired lad. Rubius Hagrid, keeper of keys and grounds at Hogwarts, how am I to pay for this? He asked. You can call me Hagrid, said Hagrid, before pointing to a building not far ahead. There's your money, Harry. Gringotts, the wizard bank, he continued before Harry cut him off. I know how to read. I know that's a bank, said the boy. How specifically am I supposed to pay when I don't have any money? You didn't think your mum and dad would have left you with nothing, did you? Said Hagrid as they entered the bank. Inside was a spacious hall filled with many stations, manned by numerous bipedal creatures, shorter than Harry, who himself was small for his age, with large erect ears pointing in points and noses ending in points, many of whom were bald or balding. Hagrid, what exactly are these creatures? Asked the small child, looking from creature to creature cautiously, as the two strode to the innumerous stations where robed seemed to be conducting their business. They're goblins, Harry, said the gigantic man, who looked even more ridiculous when walking by the creatures who barely came to his waist. Clever as they come, goblins, but not the most friendly of beasts. Up until then, Harry had thought Hagrid nice, but hearing him describe clearly sapient creatures as beasts, he couldn't help but wonder if the tall man was a racist, or if the entire society was strangely backwards. Striding up to the station at the back of the bank, Hagrid cleared his throat, leading the teller to look up with an expression of annoyance. "Mr. Harry Potter wishes to make a withdrawal," said Hagrid. Standing up and leaning over the high podium to look down at Harry, the goblin asked, "And does Mr. Harry Potter have his key?" Looking up at the goblin banker with their sharp-toothed mouth, Harry found himself comparing the creature to the pictures he had seen in some illustrations and realized, aside from having hair and completely different skin color, the goblins he was seeing weren't all that different from what he had seen before. Even if those goblins clearly weren't real goblins. Helplessly, Harry shrugged, hands up and palms out, his expression one of powerlessness. It took Hagrid a moment to realize something was amiss and another to jog his memories before he reached into his coat and began to dig around in the pockets. "Wait a minute," he said as he pawed his person. "Got it here somewhere." After a long moment of searching, Hagrid's expression brightened, and he pulled out a small gold key from his coat, holding it up. "Here's the little devil." "Wait, why do you have my key?" Harry asked suspiciously. "I've never met you before today." "Why, Albus Dumbledore gave it to me, Harry," said the big, hairy barrel of a man, as though it explained everything. "Who the hell is Albus Dumbledore?" asked the small boy, growing increasingly suspicious. "Why, Albus Dumbledore is the greatest wizard," gushed Hagrid, only to be interrupted by an increasingly exasperated Harry. "No, I mean, why does a fucker who I've never met in my life have my key?" snarled Harry, then cut off Hagrid before he could say anything else. "You know what? I don't want to know, but when we finish, I'm taking my fucking key." "But Harry, Hagrid, is that Albus Dumbledore the greatest wizard's key?" asked Harry, in a tone one might use to explain something to a small, stupid child of about 5 years old, still struggling to learn numbers. "No, but is that Rubius Hagrid, keeper of keys and grounds at Hogwarts's key?" "Well, no. Is that Harry Potter's key?" Well, yes. Motherfucker, are you Harry Potter? No. And am I Harry Potter? Yes, but then give it here before I tell the bank manager here Rubius Hagrid and Albus Dumbledore are conspiring to take unlawful possession of Harry Potter's key. Gringotts Wizarding Bank frowns upon those who interfere with Gringotts' business, added the bank manager, giving the keeper of keys and grounds like Hogwarts a withering look. A moment of indecision hanged in the air as Hagrid seemed to weigh his options. Then his shoulders slumped slightly, and Harry knew he had won. I guess it wouldn't hurt. It took Hagrid a moment to gather himself before something seemed to dawn on him. Oh, and there's something else as well, the man said as he pulled a twine-tied envelope out of his coat, holding it up and shaking it slightly as he spoke, his voice low and conspiratorial, like he was telling a secret. Professor Dumbledore gave me this. It's about the you-know-what in Vault You-Know-Which. It was at that moment Harry decided Rubius Hagrid, Keeper of Keys and Grounds at Hogwarts, might well be simple, but almost certainly never to be trusted with anything discreet or important. Even if he was speaking softly, there was every possibility Hagrid could be overheard, and yet he openly talked about something he very clearly wanted to keep secret out in the very public and very busy lobby of the bank, and he had just been browbeaten into submission by a small child. Harry Potter shook his head in dismay, much to the enjoyment of the goblin at the workstation. One uncomfortable ride in a mining cart later, not unlike what he imagined a roller coaster might be like if it were to have no safety precautions, Harry Potter found himself standing before an open vault containing a heaping mountain of coins, Harry Potter's key, and Harry Potter's pocket. All yours, said Hagrid proudly, as though he himself had something to do with the accumulation of the fortune piled high inside the vault. Ignoring the big, portly man, he turned to Griphook, as the goblin who accompanied them to the vault had been called by the bank manager, and asked, "What denomination are these?" "The gold ones are galleons, the silver ones are sickles, and the brown ones are nuts," answered the goblin. Gold, silver, and bronze, it was almost like their currency system was from an age long gone. Metal coins were heavy, and paper money had been in circulation for a very long time, so why were witches and wizards using such backward methods for economic transactions? Ignoring the burning economic questions, Harry turned towards Hagrid. "How much of this am I going to need for my school supplies?" he asked. The large man did not answer, but instead scooped a sizable heap of coins into a bag before dropping it into Harry's hands, then turned to Griphook and said something, ignoring the small boy struggling with the weight of a bag of gold pieces. Once again, Harry found himself bundled into the minecart with the lunk and the goblin. Another white-knuckle ride in the minecart later, they reached their destination, a vault with no keyhole in its door, but not before the giant of a man's face had started showing signs of nausea and distress. By this time, though, Harry was busy with his own thoughts, so he paid no mind to the words exchanged around him. But his curiosity was piqued when the vault opened, and instead of something obviously valuable, the vault held no more than a brown paper-wrapped package, no larger than Hagrid's hand, which he used to pick it up. And then another minecart ride followed, and the rather large breakfast Hagrid had eaten that morning vacated his stomach through his mouth.